Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many guys ever had a close call before? You know, maybe you're just random event. You're walking down the street. Maybe it was even today. Your hands went up, a bunch of them. But maybe you're driving down the road, man, and all of a sudden, just boom, you just instantly, by an inch, missed a major mega disaster. You ever do that? All right. Well, folks, if you thought yours was close, watch what happened to these people. This is crazy.
Navigate. Put down the phone. Put down the phone.
Oh! Shit. Damn!
Hey, turn to somebody and say, get a hearing aid. You know what I'm saying? How do you not hear a big giant train coming, man? Wow. That's crazy, okay? But folks, I can't think of a better way to illustrate, unfortunately, what's happening to people in our world today, whether they're saved or unsaved. I tell you what, it's crazy out there. People don't listen to God. When he tells them that there's this disaster coming, and it could be here at any minute, folks, okay, it's called the 7-year tribulation, but they're not listening. They're acting like they need a divine hearing aid, okay? And again, folks, that's what we've been seeing. It's called the 7-year tribulation, and it is not a joke, okay? It is a time frame that you need to avoid. If you're not saved, you better get saved now, okay? The Bible says this is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Again, Jesus said that, Matthew 24, and he also said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, okay? But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? He's a God of love as well, okay? And so why do you think he's devoted nearly one-third of his scripture, the Bible, okay, to future events? Because he loves us. He doesn't want us caught off guard. Number one, if we are a Christian, we need to get busy sharing the gospel as fast as we can. Because guess what? You don't get to witness in heaven. You don't get to store up treasure in heaven. It all happens here, folks. This is our one shot. Okay? Number one. Number two, if you're not saved, again, you better get saved right now. That's what God's doing. So we're going to continue our study, the final countdown. Okay? Tribulation rising. Now, if you've been tracking with us, we already saw that first sign was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. We dealt with 20 weeks on that study. You guys got it all memorized now? Yeah, I'll preach on lying next week. But anyway, let's move on. The second one, we started last time, okay? The second sign is modern technology and the AI invasion, okay? And if you were here last week, we saw the first of many future prophecies we're going to be taking a look at concerning modern technology and artificial intelligence, believe it or not, that gives us an indicator. Guess what? Like it, lump it, leave it or not, you're living in the last days, okay? Now, last week we saw that first way that you see that with modern technology is the increase of travel, okay, the increase of travel. And just like Daniel said, the prophet Daniel, he said that, how do you know you're in the end times? People are going to be traveling here like never before, across the planet, to and fro, here and there. And that's exactly what's going on. Now, what we saw, okay, was the first one was land travel, okay? Land travel has gone absolutely crazy. And it's not just an increase of the speed of land travel. If you were here, we saw that the options for land travel are increasing as well. In fact, they're not just increasing, they're what? They're getting automated. Remember that? Now we're seeing in our lifetime, folks, all this is taking place. It's going exponentially so. You're seeing automated cars, automated roads, okay? And it's supposed to be, here's the pitch, it's going to lead to this great, wonderful, automated utopia that who can say no to this technology and what do we see? It actually fits in with another Bible prophecy related issue, Revelation 13, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to micromanage the planet. They're going to know who the resistors are, who doesn't worship the beast, okay? And if they don't worship the beast, they're going to be able to kill them and take them out, okay? This technology leads to an automated big brother for the first time in the history of mankind. Never had we had the ability until now. But all of this is because of modern technology, and that's just the issue of dealing with land technology, okay? The second technology that we're going to see is in the area of, guess what? Praise God, you guys got eyeballs today. Okay, yeah, it's called air travel. Okay, air travel. But once again, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Okay, go back to our opening text we saw last week. Let's get the context. Is air travel, travel period, is it really a serious sign that we need to consider as an indicator we're in the end of times? Okay, let's take a look at what Daniel has to say concerning that. Okay, Daniel chapter 12, we're going to again read verses 1 through 4. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's word. Now, those of you still getting there, let me buy you some time. Again, you guys got it right last week. Can you get it right this week? John, 2 weeks in a row. Ready? Here you go. Daniel was written by? Daniel. Give yourself a golf clap. That was amazing, guy. All right, I stalled enough time. Let's go ahead and let's read. Daniel chapter 12, it says this. At that time, who? Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, the Jewish people, the context, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will what? Will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the what? Until the time of the end. Again, oh, if we only knew some indicators when it's getting close. How do you know that you're there at the time of the end? Well, he gives you two things. Number one, many will go what? Here and there, or to and fro, and there will be an increase of knowledge. You may be seated if you can, okay? But again, this is our text that we opened up with last week. We're still on that same theme, but we see that God gives Daniel some clear-cut signs that you're living in the end times. Again, the first thing he mentions is the sovereign protection by the archangel Michael upon the Jewish people. And again, we saw that Revelation chapter 12, he protects the remnant. God is not done with the Jewish people. Again, I'm not going to belabor that. We dealt with that for 20 weeks. But anyway, that's the first thing. But then he gets into two other things. And of course, the last one was the explosion of knowledge like never before. That's going to be, Lord willing, our AI section. But what did he say again before that? There's three indicators here. Okay, and that second one was what? That people, the context is global, so people all around the world are going to be traveling to and fro here and there, apparently like never before. In fact, so much so that you're going to say, wow, this is different. This must be a sign. And it's not just a sign, it's a what? That you're in the end of times. Okay, so that's what we're seeing there. And again, as we saw last week, that is happening on a massive scale, not just on land. Okay, remember we saw last week? Right? I'm not going to re-preach it. Anybody glad about that? That hurt my feelings. No, let's move on. No, right? Okay, but again, we saw, man, for centuries and centuries and centuries, land travel didn't change. The fastest man could go was 30 miles an hour on horseback. But in our lifetime, look at us go. It's going crazy. And folks, I'm telling you, it's the same thing when it comes to air travel, okay? But again, kind of like the land travel, man's always had this. You look at study history, right? Even far back as the Greeks and the Romans, there's always been a desire that man has wanted to fly, right? In fact, this is not in my notes, and I don't know if I got time, but I'm going to share this. When I was pastoring back in New York, Billy, of course, was about that big, okay? And we got him these Superman pajamas. Yeah, you know where I'm going. That's my wife on the front row, right? And I kid you not, he thought he was Superman when he put those things on. And praise God, we saw him out of the corner of our eye, because as soon as he got them on, he didn't just come into the living room and go, whoa, you know, doing this thing, right? He immediately jumped onto the back of the couch, and he went to launch himself to fly like Superman, and fortunately was able to catch him. But there's that desire. We think we want to fly. Man wants to fly, and everybody wants to fly. You dream of flying. Wouldn't it be cool to fly? And that's been around for a long time, but guess what? We couldn't fly. It was just man's big failure, century after century after century. No matter how much you try to configure it, you ain't getting off the ground, right? Now, let me give you a couple little teasers of man's many failed attempts at flying. Take a look at this thing. Wow. Hey, pray for Jim Jubenville. I keep telling him, just do Southwest, dude. I mean, this your thing, whatever. Hey, man, don't quit your day job, right? I think my son would have a better opportunity than that, okay? But you can see man's desire to fly, man, has been there for a long time. You see all these crazy attempts, and it just doesn't work. And this guy tries this technique, and that doesn't work, and on and on and on it goes. Until now. Until in our lifetime, folks, we need to wake up. In the last century alone, this is when flight technology really began to take off, pun intended. Why? Because that's exactly what Daniel said would happen when you're living in the last days, the end of times, and we're in that time. It had to occur. Now, we know that that began with the invention of the airplane, okay, which again occurred in the last century, okay? And ever since then, our world has become a much smaller place, okay? Now, for those of you hooked on history, we know that began, of course, with these guys, and that would be the Wright brothers. My theory is the video you just saw, that was the Wrong brothers, okay? But these guys got it right, the Wright brothers, okay? And they actually launched their first glider in 1900, okay? And then they built a second one after that, shortly after that. It was actually even worse than the first one, but they weren't daunted. They continued to try. And they literally went hundreds of times, not dozens, hundreds of times. These guys would not give up, okay? And they finally made their first successful attempt at man flight, south of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, December 17th, 1903. Okay, now let me give you some footage. There's no audio, but here's some actual footage of what they were attempting back in the day. And this was a huge breakthrough. We take it for granted. Okay, their first flight was made by Orville Wright, and that first flight was only 120 feet. Okay, it lasted for 12 seconds, but that was a huge deal. Now, believe it or not, his brother beat him, Wilbur, beat him on the same day on another flight. He flew for 852 feet in 59 seconds, okay? And again, this is when man flight really began to take off, okay? Because after this event, what happened is the Wright brothers, they were kind enough to share what they discovered, okay? And their discoveries were published in this French magazine called Aerofile. The French got a hold of it, and so guess what they started to do? That was the big breakthrough. So they started to come out with their own planes they began to experiment with, okay? Here's one of their first ones. This was made in 1906, and as you can see there. The next year, they came out with this baby. It was called the Voisin biplane, okay? And you can see they're very excited. Yay, you're not crashing, okay? And but it was a big breakthrough. Now, that was just the infancy stage, okay? But it really began to spread across the world. Now, again, you're dealing with 1906, now, shortly after that, as fate would have it, we entered into what? World War I. And as often the case, when wars come about, especially on a grand scale, what does it do? All kinds of new technologies are developed. And believe it or not, right after this big breakthrough, here comes World War I, and airplane technology went ballistic. That war actually helped, again, pun intended, propel travel, air travel technology like never before. In fact, just in World War I, folks, take a look at this. 219 different aircrafts were developed in World War I. Just World War I, not two, one, okay? And, of course, they used them at that time more for reconnaissance, to kind of aerial stuff, and they also used them to hand drop bombs. How would you like to have that job? Okay, and but they did that. But, again, this is when you had the birth of these guys. They were called the Flying Aces, the Red Baron. Remember that? You guys heard of the Red Baron? Now, let me clarify for some of you younger folks. I'm not talking about that pizza that apparently you buy, and it's going to make people want to come over to your house, and you're going to be popular. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. And for those of you hooked on cartoons, yeah, I know it's kind of cool, but believe it or not, Snoopy did not actually battle the Red Baron. That's a cartoon, but I digress. But anyway, I had to clarify that. But that's when you have the time frame of the Red Baron, things of that nature. That's World War I flying technology where you get that. But guess what? It wasn't long after World War I what happened. And again, all in our lifetime, folks, these things begin to wrap. Once the Wright brothers made that big breakthrough, travel technology went nuts. So shortly after World War I, here comes World War II. And World War II, you not only had a development of all kinds of planes, but now you got a big breakthrough. That's called jet airplanes. Now you're flying at extreme speeds like never before. In fact, the Germans came up with the first one. Let's take a look at that guy here.
August 27th, 1939. The Heinkel HE-178 became the world's first jet-propelled aircraft. Producing 1,100 pounds of thrust, the engine pushed the plane to speeds of 435 miles per hour. But it burned fuel at such a high rate, it could only remain airborne for 10 minutes.
That's the original gas guzzler, for those of you wondering, okay? My theory is that would never make the new Green Deal that they're pushing. Okay, but anyway, that was a start. Okay, it wasn't just planes, massive amounts of planes with World War II, but now you got jet planes, okay? In fact, you got all kinds of jet aircraft, whether we believe it or not, or familiar. Usually when you watch World War II movies, they show you the prop planes. But there was a lot of jet planes being developed during World War II, okay? And again, not just Germany, but the United States, Britain, Russia, they followed suit. But then we had another major breakthrough. Again, all of this is escalating in our lifetime, okay? You don't just have jet airplanes being developed now with the military in a short amount of time from the Wright brothers getting air travel technology off the ground, again, pun intended, but now you got it, jet planes going into post-World War II into the commercial realm, okay? In fact, the first commercial jet airplane was this guy, made by British Overseas Airway. It was called the de Havilland Comet Jet Airliner, okay? And that was a big breakthrough. So now it's not just the military's got this technology. Now you and I can take advantage of it. We can fly around the world in these jet airplanes. Now, unfortunately, these guys, BOAC, they lost three airliners in 12 months due to structural failure. In other words, they literally broke apart in flight. How many of you guys would say that's not good for business? Okay, yeah. Well, that paved the way for another one that we're familiar with called Boeing. You guys remember Boeing? All right. That's when Boeing began to take the lead, and they came out with their first, and this became the first successful jet commercial airliner, and that was this one, the Boeing 707. Okay. And again, this is when the flying technology for not just the military, but now for the average Joe, you and I, began to take off in a big way. Okay. Then they came out with their one that's the most famous, of course, is the Boeing 747. Okay. Now, let's put this plane into perspective. And again, the Wright brothers, here comes World War I, bang, this is taking off, right? Can you see the escalation? It's very easy to demonstrate, right? But look at how different this is in a short amount of time. The Wright brothers, we saw their first flight was 120 feet, right? Now, had they flown from the back of a Boeing 747, they would not have even made it to first class. Right? The first plane that we saw with the Wright brothers, limited seating. Two guys, help me now. I hope I don't fall out. Okay, two, the Boeing 747 can carry more than 400 people, fly 8,300 miles without refueling, 6 million parts, 171 miles of wiring, 5 miles of tubing. It's just huge. In fact, this is where we get the term in our dictionary now called a jumbo jet. Okay, is where that all started. Then they came out with the Boeing 777, and it could seat 550 passengers. And again, they had the lead for quite some time until these guys showed up. This is the Airbus A380, okay, from a European company. This thing can seat 853 passengers. And this is now you're getting to not just jumbo jets. This is now what's called super jumbo jet airliners. These things are huge. They're massive, okay? And again, it goes even more than that. Now we get from not just increasing for the average Joe, the increasing in the size, the increasing of the capability, then you get in the increasing speed as well. Again, not just for the military, but even for you and I. Now we get into supersonic aircraft. And again, all this is happening, we could hardly even keep up with it. Once it took off, pun intended, things began to escalate, okay? The world's first supersonic commercial plane, also called a SST, was this guy. It was made by the Russians. It was called the Tu-144. This thing could fly at 1,200 miles an hour, okay? Crazy fast. And again, for consumers, for, you know, people like you and I. If we're Russian, apparently. But anyway, then the British and the French came out with this guy. You guys might be more familiar. Remember the Concordes? This is the Mach 2 Concorde aircraft. And this thing went about 1,354 miles an hour. Okay? So this is crazy. Now again, stop before we continue. Wright brothers, here comes World War I. What's happened to travel technology? Do you like that?
Do it again.
I'm not doing it again, bro. But it's taking off. It's going crazy. It's exactly what Daniel said. We take air flying technology, not just land travel technology. We take air flying technology for granted. It's a huge sign we're in the last days. But we're just getting started, okay? Now, of course, speaking of the military is all about fast aircraft, okay? Now, the fastest one on record, at least that we're being told about anyway, was an aircraft called the SR-71 Blackbird. And this baby flew at 2,275 miles an hour. Watch this thing. 6. That's crazy. That was Mach 3. And wasn't that cool? You could outrun any missile. You can't. I wonder if they had on the pilot on the back. Ron, you could probably verify. Did he turn around and go, nah, nah, boo, boo. Yeah, I don't know, but can't catch me. But isn't that wild? Okay, but that was Mach 3. And so they're developing now this other one, right? Let's do the math and let's see how fast we're talking about, folks. This SR-71 traveling at 2,270 miles an hour is fast enough to go to L.A. to New York City in just over an hour. That's how fast the SR-71 was. Now, the SR-72 that they're hinting at, they're developing, that's 6 times the speed of sound, Mach 6, okay? That would be an estimated 4,603 miles an hour, which means now you're going from L.A. to New York in about a half an hour. Again, what did Daniel say? In the last days, you're going to see something significant take place. It's a huge sign. You're not just going to see the increase of travel. People are going, it's on a global scale, traveling around the planet, what? To and fro like never before. Folks, this has never happened before in the history of mankind, and we're still not done. It gets even faster than that. Okay, let me share you with you this one. This is a headline, quote, Virgin Galactic. You've heard of Virgin Airlines? They now are coming out with what's called Virgin Galactic, right? Virgin Galactic wants to fly you from L.A. to Tokyo in 1 hour. And they're basically, that's what this is showing. You're going to go straight up. You're going to hit the atmosphere. Pew! Supersonic speeds in the atmosphere, come down your destination in 1 hour. Richard Branson, if you're familiar, he's the one that owns that company. They've already built their first commercial spaceport, not airport. It's called a spaceport. It's already done, right? But now he wants to revolutionize just our commercial flights, okay, as well. Quote, they want people to fly from L.A. to Tokyo in no more than 1 hour. And quote, listen to this. It's not clear whether the passengers will be primarily tourists or business persons on urgent trips. I'd say that was urgent. Yeah, no kidding, right? It's being called, listen to this. Now, our terminology is changing. It's being called now the world's first commercial space line. We've got commercial airlines. Now we're getting into commercial space lines. This is where the travel technology is going. Okay. But again, now they're also saying that we're going to be able here soon to go anywhere around the whole world in just 4 hours. Watch this. And I'm not talking just military. I'm talking for you and I, right? Let's take a look at this one.
Let's be honest, air travel is brutal. Most of us can't afford anything but coach, and we spend innumerable hours just stuck in those dead air tin cans because, well, traveling is awesome. But what if I told you there was a new craft that can get you anywhere in the world in about 4 hours?
In other words, what? It's basically here, right? Not coming. And again, this is usually stuff that we hear about stories, you know, the military's doing this. We're talking the average Joe, you and I, can make ourselves and travel around the world in 4 hours. Now, as crazy as that is, I kid you not, a Canadian guy has developed an experimental craft, but it's made not for military. It's being pitched for you and I, right? The average commercial traveler. It's called the AirPod. AirPod, A-I-R-P-O-D-E, the AirPod. And this thing has the capability that he's working on. It will get us from New York to London in 11 minutes. Watch this one.
Canadian engineer designs Mach 24 aircraft, Antipod. Charles Bombardier has done it again. The engineer just released concept designs for yet another supersonic aircraft, Antipod. The plane has been conceptualized to carry as many as 10 passengers up to 12,430 miles in under an hour, reaching speeds as high as 16,000 miles per hour. at 16,000 or Mach 24, which is a little over 18,000, Antipode is estimated to be capable of traveling from London to New York in just 11 minutes, a flight that currently takes 8 hours.
Crazy, isn't it? 2,500 some years ago, what did Daniel say? You know what you're going to see? How many times have we read through that passage and just blown right through it, and we don't understand the days we live in? You know, some of the major signs that you're going to be in the end of times? Yeah, there's going to be an increase of information. But you're going to see people traveling on the planet like never before in the history of mankind with such great ease, to and fro, whenever they want, fast options galore. Folks, it's happening right now before our very eyes. Now, it's not just the speed of travel that's increasing, okay? That's easy to demonstrate. We just saw that. It's also the amount of passengers that are traveling around the world never before in the history of mankind. Let me give you some statistics. Just in the U.S., the FAA provides service to more than 43,000 flights, 2.6 million airline passengers, over 29 million square miles of space, and there's about 5,000 aircraft in the air at peak times just in the U.S. There's planes all over it. We take it for granted. We tune it out. But people are, even in our own country, traveling like never before constantly. Now, around the world, there's about 100,000 airline flights every single day. These statistics are not counting those who own their own planes. This is just commercial flights. It's not even talking the military. This is just commercial flights, okay? In fact, let me give you a couple graphics here that I came across. This is the one. They are projecting almost 40 million flights this year alone. As you can clearly see for the last many, many years, what has happened every single year on the amount of people traveling around the world to and fro, just like Daniel said. It's increasing. It's growing big time. And then also they're saying, they're expecting, watch this next one, that by the year 2036, okay, right now they're saying that four billion people are traveling every single year. Listen, 4 billion people are traveling every single year, but by 2036, if you can see that far, folks, there's an estimated 7.8 billion people will travel in that year alone at the rates we're going. What's that? That's the population of the planet is going to be traveling every single year, okay? Don't tell me this isn't speeding up. Don't tell me there's nothing significant about the days that we live in. Air travel technology has gone ballistic, and it's increasing. In fact, I often wonder, what did Daniel see, right? He's seen these visions that God's given him. He's inspired the Holy Spirit. He's writing them down. You know, maybe Daniel saw a typical day of our day from space, if you will. Not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but from space, and he saw all the crazy air traffic going on. That blew him away, right? It might look something like this. Watch this one. Wild when you put it on that perspective. Again, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord. Is that something akin to what Daniel saw? Man, people are going to be traveling to and fro on the whole planet like never before. Oh, by the way, that was just one day, a portion of one day, just in the UK. That was just the UK traffic. Now imagine every country, what that would look like on a global basis, okay? But it's not just, you got the speed of travel that's increasing, just like Daniel said. Not just the amount of people traveling all across the world, just like Daniel said. You also, again, see a ton of different options. All kinds of options, right? Because it's not just planes anymore. Now you got all kinds of ways to get off the ground and travel around, including, who wouldn't want one of these, John? I know you want one. This is the new hoverboard. Watch this.
I'm Frankie Dapala. Today I will try to break the record for the fastest flight by hoverboard with my flyboard here. I have to fly 280 meters to break the record. It's a jet-powered board with four detentines that I control with my finger. It's cool technology.
I'm feeling a bit stressed. It's a pure prototype. It's just working since about 4 or 5 weeks. I have a thousand reasons that something can fail.
One, raise your hand. You finally get to church services on time. Pastor won't give me that look if I just had a hoverboard. Wow, isn't that crazy? It's like Marty McFly, eat your heart out. You know what I'm saying? You thought that was cool, dude? You need to get out of here. That was lame compared to this thing. It's crazy. Speaking of movies, and this is a headline quote: Star Wars technologies may not be so far, far away. Get it? They're saying in development. They're working on actual land speeders for those of you hooked on Star Wars. That's in development as well. But maybe you're out there going like, listen, okay, that's cool, Pastor Billy, the hoverboard, maybe a land speeder. Okay, but if I'm going to fly and it's not going to be a plane, right? I want something that gets higher off the ground, right? I mean, that hoverboard was cool and all that stuff, but hey, worry no more, because they're also now working on releasing more into the public view jetpacks, right? Remember that back in the day with $6 Million Man? Can anybody make that nifty noise? I ain't got time for this, but anyway, the jetpack, right? The jetpack, remember, I just got to show you. This thing's crazy. Who wouldn't want to have one of these, man? This is cool.
Yes, this is David Mamet demonstrating his wild side and wowing over 2.5 million people with this fully functional jetpack.
I was 10 years old, and on the radio was Buck Rogers, and he came out of a spaceship, put on his jetpack, and I figured I've got to have one of those.
I've always wanted to fly, you know, myself. So I got into skydiving to do that. That's a little dangerous, I thought. So, hey, let's take up something safe like jetpack flying. I mean, the jetpack it's science fiction to a lot of people, but it's true. It's here. It's sitting right there.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a man with a jetpack soaring around the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C.
Flying is a really old dream for the human, and we are pushing the realization of that dream one step towards the final things, to be a bird. I'm not playing with death, I'm playing with life.
Radio check, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Plunging into the skies of Japan, Yves Rossi, known as Jetman, streaked through the clouds by the country's famous Mount Fuji. It was the latest locale for the former 54-year-old Swiss pilot, who has dedicated 10 years to his passion of flying in the most natural way possible. He says being thrust through the air with only a jetpack on his back was like being in the palms of a giant hand.
Now you got human jets. And speaking of a giant hand, the giant hand called God wrote this down 2,500 years ago. This is a sign you're living the last days. Don't we take this for granted, folks? And can you see? It's escalating faster and faster. More and more different options. All kinds of ways to get around the world. Even for the average Joe, it's going all over the place. Now, not only that, you're thinking, okay, that's kind of creepy. Right? Because what if it crashes? Or what if I fall off that hoverboard? You know, if I'm going to fly, right, and I don't have to rely on Southwest all the time and all those other airliners, I want something that's got like an enclosed compartment, you know, kind of like a car. So at least you feel kind of safe. Well, folks, they're coming out with those on a massive scale, flying cars. Let me just share with you one of them. This is the latest thing you can actually buy. Let's take a look.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
The flying car has long been a feature in pop culture and science fiction.
Flying DeLorean?
Now a small group of entrepreneurs want to turn fiction into reality. Recent advances, such as lighter structures and engines, may finally make their ambitions possible.
Say hi to Jetman for me. Ron, no more commute, man. Can you imagine that? It'd be a lot easier to get here all the way from Creech, I tell you what. Isn't that wild? Now you think, well, that's just an aberration. That's just one company, some big dreamer. Uh-uh. I'm telling you, folks, this is the rage. Quote, headline, 10 companies are racing right now to make flying cars a reality. And we're not talking just some fly-by-night startups. We're talking major mega companies like Audi, Aston Martin, Rolls-Royce. We're talking about flying cars. We're talking about even the airline industries also getting into this, and they're expecting it soon. And that's Boeing and Airbus, and they got a track record of pulling this technology off. Okay, all these people are getting into what? Into flying cars that you and I could actually purchase, and even that's increasing, okay? But again, you might be thinking, well, okay, that's kind of cool. At least that's not as bad as the hoverboard where I could fall off, or the jetpack I can crash into Mount Fuji. But still, I don't want to have the responsibility of flying. I mean, it's in the car, but still, it's kind of creepy. Well, imagine if you could have all that and like a car, but it flew it for you. They're doing that too. They're now doing the same thing. You're seeing, we saw last week with the automated cars, automated trains, planes. They're doing automated planes, including Dubai is launching an automated taxi that will fly you. No pilot, you just hop in. It takes you where you want to go. Watch this one.
The Roads and Transport Authority in Dubai, RTA, adoption of autonomous vehicles technology reflects the Dubai Smart Autonomous Mobility Strategy, which aims to transform 25% of the city's mass transit system to autonomous driving to enhance people's well-being and happiness and strengthen Dubai's reputation as a hub of innovation, technology, and the future. RTA has announced the signing of an agreement with the German Volocopter company a specialist manufacturer of autonomous air vehicles, to launch the world's first autonomous air taxi. The AAT is characterized by its autonomous flight. This enables the movement of people from place to place without human intervention or the need for a flight license.
Not a single pilot in there. That was back in 2017, folks. And so now we're getting to not just the increase of people traveling all over the world, the increase of flying technology, the increase of the speed of that flying technology, the increase of the amount of people utilizing that flying technology. Now the options for flying technology are going all over the place, and now it's being automated. Don't tell me that there's been no significant change in our lifetime. It's a major mega sign that we're living the last days, according to Daniel. Okay? People are traveling to and fro all over the planet, exactly like he said, never before in the history of mankind. But as we close, I see another aspect of this flying technology and the scale that it's now on today, okay, that it's actually going to pave the way for another Bible prophecy related issue to be able to come to pass for the first time in mankind's history. And that has to do with, in the 7-year tribulation, it talks about global wars that are going to hit this planet. Never before in the history of mankind have we had the ability to pull off what's mentioned here in these global wars until now. And air travel technology makes that all possible. Now, the Bible talks about the next prophetic event on God's end time calendar is what? The rapture. That is imminent. It could happen at any moment. Shortly after the rapture, we don't know how long, but shortly after that, my guess would be that you're going to see Daniel 9:27, right? The Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jewish people. That's the event that starts the 7-year tribulation. The parallel passage to that is Revelation chapter 6. And that's when you have the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the white horse rider, the Antichrist, coming on the scene. He makes this peaceful coup. Everybody thinks he's the savior. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's what starts the 7-year tribulation. But it doesn't take him long, according to the book of Revelation, to show his true colors. The second seal is busted, and that's the red horse rider, and a global war breaks out on the planet. This is the first part of the first half of the 7-year tribulation, and the planet goes nuts in a global war. It's not the only one, but it doesn't take long to erupt on the planet. But let's take a look at that second seal here, Revelation 6, 3 through 4 and 8. Again, after the first seal, here come the rapture's already happened. Here comes the first seal, the rise of the Antichrist, second seal. Right after that, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creatures say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth. Again, he institutes a false peace. Everybody thinks, wow, great, these nasty Christians are gone. They've been bugging us, right? And they're finally gone. We could create utopia on the planet, and it's going to be peace and wonderful. It takes peace from the earth, and to what? To make men slay each other. And to him was given a, not just a sword, but a large sword. It's going to be a bloodbath. And then if you advance forward to 8, it tells you the outcome of this global war. They were given power over how much? A fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. If that global war were to happen today, do the math, that's about 2 billion people are going to die in a very quick amount of time. Did you catch that? 2 billion. And it says what? Over all the earth. We're not talking about just one country, right, being decimated. We're talking about all over the earth. You got 2 billion people dying. And again, what's the time frame? We're talking about the first part of the first half of the 7-year tribulation. So it's a compressed time period. And so my mind's going like, well, wait a second. That was written 2,000 years ago, right? We didn't have all this travel technology. How's man going to take out 2 billion people in a short amount of time? I mean, you can't even get across the Atlantic. But do you see what I'm talking about? See, not land travel. How many guys can verify that trying to drive your car from New York to London, you're not going to get very far? Yeah, once you hit the coast, you're done. Right? Okay, but now with air travel technology, what we've been talking about today, guess what? For the first time in mankind's history, and especially with such speed and on such a massive scale, and yes, throw in the military and the militaries around the world, and we've already had 2 world wars, for the first time in mankind's history, we have the ability to pull off this passage, i.e. this global war. We're in the last days. And the point for you and I is, time is running out. But if you're not saved, you better get saved. Because maybe that global war, after the rapture, is going to look something like this. You need to avoid it at all costs. Let's take a look.
satellite 1A, approaching left, coordinates locked and loaded. Awaiting drop off position. Satellite 1A, we have remote launch authorization.
3, 2, 1, drop.
Are you ready? Is right. 2,000 years ago, that was written down for our warning, our admonition. How do you take out nearly 2 billion people? I mean, in a pretty quick amount of time. On the whole planet. In just the first part of the first half of the 7-year tribulation. We don't have to wonder anymore, do we? All this flying technology to deliver all this flying missiles and all these flying weaponry and all this ability to go anywhere we want around the world has made it possible for the first time in man's history, and it's happened in our lifetime. And what did Daniel say? It's a sign you're in the end of times. We have the ability to pull this off now. We've never had it before. And that's why Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, what do you do? You need to stand up, lift up your heads. Praise God, our redemption is drawing near. Right? We don't know how much time we got left, but we need to be finishing here faithful. Not fearful, faithful. Let's get busy sharing the gospel. As you can see there depicted, folks, anything that we can dream up of, as horrific as that is, it's nothing. It pales in comparison to the reality. And so we need to get busy sharing the gospel to as many as we can, because there is a way out of that mess, and that's through Jesus Christ. Right? That's our privilege to share with the people around us. But if you're here today, I don't know your heart, but God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. And why would you even want to flirt with that? If you're not saved, this is coming, and it's coming a lot sooner than people believe. You don't want to be there. You need to take the one and only way of escape, and that is right there through Jesus Christ, through his work on the cross. You need to call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, confess him, the Bible says, as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, and you will be saved. Do it today. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, "You shall not bear false witness." That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.